Hello, paranormal fans. This is Mark Drotis, paranormal suspense author. Are you looking for a good scare? Something that will challenge your thoughts about ghosts and hauntings? If so, read The Haunting of Crimshaw Manor and find out what happens when a paranormal club investigates a mysterious haunted house where shadow figures are seen, screams heard, and an undeniable torment is revealed. The Haunting of Crimshaw Manor is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever scary books are sold. And don't forget to listen to Ghost in the Valley podcast with Al Cooley. Both will give you chills and keep you up at night,
Hello and welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today on the show, I have two members from the Spirit Guides paranormal team, founder and creator Donnie Parker, and also Denny O'Rourke. We're going to talk about the investigations they've been on. We're going to talk about the Paracon they're putting on in Brandy Station, Virginia on October 26th. And I am so honored that they invited me to be not only a guest speaker, but also to set up a vendor's tent to sell my book, Spencer's Ghost. So we have a lot to get into, and I'll be right back with my conversation with Donnie and Denny right after these brief messages.
Hey everyone, Eric here. I am the host of the Unseen Paranormal Podcast. Join me for a new episode every Wednesday as I delve into the unseen world with historians, authors, researchers, and investigators as we try to understand and make sense of the paranormal. You can listen to past and future episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or at unseenparanormalpodcast.com. Please like the show on Facebook and share with your friends. And remember, some of the scariest things are unseen.
Today on the show, I have the Spirit Guides paranormal team, which consists of Donnie Parker and DC O'Rourke. So is that just the only two that's on your team right now?
No, we have Diana Krutt. We have Shirley Ann Spencer. We have Joe Pascalot and his son we call Trip, which is Joe Third. And then we have Amber. There's seven of them.
All right, cool. Does everybody have like their own gifts they bring to the table, or
pretty much,
or just you share thoughts and like somebody like I know DC, you know, Denny, you're a psychic medium.
Yep.
And Donnie, you're a Reiki master. And
yeah, I'm the founder of the hodgepodge that I collected.
You're the founder of the Spirit Guides. Yeah. So when did you start that?
Ooh, I don't remember what year we actually started up the Spirit Guides. I know we've been at it for about 10, 15 years. I was at it before cleansing houses with negative energy and kept bumping into spirits. And I'm like, okay, well, you don't want to leave and I want to kick you out because you're not doing anything. So I took up the paranormal since I've seen ghosts as a kid.
Yeah, I've seen that. Did you seen a ghost as a child, and mother seen it also?
Yep.
Like myself, you know, I've seen it as a child, like 12 years old. Matter of fact, that's my book. My book that's come out that's on growing up in a haunted house and the stuff I went through in and outside that house.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, so let's get a little bit of background on. Let's start with Donnie. You start out with seeing ghosts, and so this led you into your interest in the paranormal. That started your interest in starting, you know, the paranormal team.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I started. I started seeing ghosts at about, I'll say 6 or 7. And Pop thought I was watching too many horror films, which wasn't, because Mom was hearing and seeing the same thing that I was. So I didn't totally lose it. And then we bumped into a few spirits in various houses we lived in. So it wasn't just one location, and it wasn't following me because it was different ghosts. And then, like I said, I was cleaning houses, cleansing the negative spirits, and boom, I was bumping into them. So we got some gear and started up a small team, and then it eventually grew into what it is now. And suckered in Denny, we decided, what was it, 2016, 2017, 2018, something like that?
No, you suckered me in 2021.
Okay, but you were there before.
Yes, I was.
Because then you had the Hauntingly Yours paranormal team, didn't you?
It was a podcast.
Oh, podcast. Okay.
Yeah.
My mind's starting to, you know.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I was I was hosting Hauntingly Yours, the podcast, and I was doing ghost tours in Colonial Williamsburg, which I still do, and in addition to investigating the paranormal.
Yeah, that was my next question, if you're still doing that, the tours. I took a ghost tour in Colonial Williamsburg. It was fantastic. I mean, the activity was fantastic that night.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely got a whole other energy that I don't really feel in, you know, some places that I go investigate.
Now, can you feel, like when you go investigate, can you connect to it differently than, say, using a spirit box or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, at first, I guess I should start off by saying I don't openly advertise that I'm, you know, a psychic medium on ghost tours because my boss would have a conniption fit. Plus, I understand, you know, from a professional standpoint that, you know, you shouldn't be advertising that kind of thing, you know, when you're doing something else. So I have to be creative and find ways to use my gifts to my advantage when I'm people out into the Colonial Williamsburg historic area without letting on that I'm a psychic medium, if that makes sense.
A lot of times, you know, you go in and use your gifts, array of gifts they bring in, you know. I had a team on here where they're so diverse, you know, like one was a Baptist minister, the other one was an atheist. I mean, there was just so many people. Everybody was so diverse, you know. I thought, you know, they can look at things differently, you know. And when you come to like the middle ground, you know, with everybody, that's really exciting, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure Donnie would agree with me. That's pretty much how we are, right, Donnie?
We've collected quite a group. We've got a witch. We got DC is our medium. I'm an empath and Reiki master. I think DC's level 3, right, Denny?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, and then we've got a couple more empaths in the group. I mean, we're diverse as we can be. Most of us are Christian. I'm not the atheist, but I travel Red Road. I'm the Indian of the group.
I love your logo.
Thank you. Everybody else has ghosts and weird stuff. We went back to our roots. It's like Dreamcatcher and just keep it spiritual.
And I think I've seen that you have a connection with the Native American Cherokee, you know, and I can really relate to that. Everything is with Earth.
That's where I usually come in when we go on investigations. I'm the ground guy.
And the energy, you know, when you use dowsing rods, I mean, that's all energy.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, so you're going to get water or gas or ground. I mean, I did with my grandfather, my great grandfather, when I was just a child. You know, I seen like he dug his well with the with two sticks, you know. So it's like, okay, I mean, he found the water and I couldn't do it. I still can't do it today. I mean, it doesn't work with me, but you know.
That takes a little practice.
Do you use those dowsing rods?
Yes. In fact, when you were talking about that, it reminded me when I was younger, my folks built a house and the guy came out with a willow branch, which was forked. Looking like your wishbone of a turkey.
Right.
And he would hold it this way, and it would twist down when he got to water. And he actually let me try it. And as a little kid, yeah, it pulled quick, and I felt it. So, yeah, dowsing rods have been around for a long time. We found the spirits will actually relate sometimes to that if they don't pick up the gear. So it's a go-to for us.
What kind of gear do you use?
We got a hodgepodge. I mean, we cover everything from static electricity, electromagnetic fields, motion detectors, laser grids, you name it, we've got it of some sort. If it's coming out, we're studying it before we buy it. But you don't need a whole lot to be an investigator, just a few tools and a couple of like-minded people. I mean, we've got skeptics on the team, which we like to debunk ourselves before we post anything.
Almost definitely. You know, I mean, the few that I was on, you know, 9 times out of 10, it wasn't haunted, you know, so it was something else causing that racket, you know, like, you know, branch hitting the house or the pipes hitting the bottom floor and the furnace kicked in, you know. But there was a couple, you know, it was something else. I only used like an infrared camera and like a an audio recorder. And I always say that my body's the biggest tool, you know, because I know when I did my documentary, it was my body that was pushed, shoved or whatever on the, this one bridge we did in Pennsylvania. And it was very active. Matter of fact, the actress I had to play the part of the girl that came up underneath the bridge, she didn't want to be there without a bodyguard because she knew the history of the bridge and the area. And so I had a bodyguard under the bridge for her, you know, but it was a very active area, very active bridge.
So the one near Gettysburg?
No, it was near Hermitage, PA.
I'm sorry, North Pennsylvania. I get about as far as Gettysburg, I'm good.
The Fleetwood Resurrection Paracon. That sounds really interesting on October 26th. Brandy Station, Virginia.
Indeed. We were trying to renovate the church. We were there for quite a few years, and it was a weird explosion, and we stayed away for a while. But now we're back. We're bringing it back. We, over the years, have raised enough to replace the steeple and replace the culvert, which was, he had two problems. The steeple was rotten. And it was letting in water, and then he had water collecting underneath from poor drainage from the culvert. So the foundation on one side is pretty much collapsing. He's got it jacked up now, but the man was trying to do it by himself and stepped in and like, all right, we'll start off small with like little bake sales and little investigations. And then we went up to a Paracon, and yeah, we're bringing it back this year. We're hot and heavy. We got 7 speakers so far, maybe more. We're looking for more vendors. All the money goes to the restoration of the church. We don't see nothing.
Yeah, Denny has sent me some pictures of that. And I think it's a fantastic cause that you guys are doing, trying to save this church from collapsing. You know, you're trying to keep history alive.
Well, the funny part, there's so much history in that area because it's right next to the Battle of Brandy Station's fight ground, where it was the largest cavalry battle. And then we got... the fact that the tax records go back to the 1850s, that's the foundation, which they're finding. We're still finding bullets and stuff in the foundation. And it was given by the Wine family. It was part of their farm. They gave it to the church. So on top of the house that was there, we believe it was a house that burned down. They built the church in 1880. It was established August 6th of 1881. So that's how old the place is.
I've read around 1,500 bodies that were died around that area.
In that battle, the Battle of Brandy Station was a turnabout. Lee was headed to Gettysburg, and Jeb Stuart and his boys were supposed to run a blind so they'd get through. So, yeah, it was the biggest clash because the Union has finally decided the cavalry was busting their butts every time they turned around. So they upped the amount for them and actually took it serious. And they did a good showing, but they still got spanked.
A lot of bodies left on the field, you know, and not properly buried, you know, it's, and with the building being right there, who knows if it was built on top of any of that or.
No, it wasn't built on top of any of that because tax records go back to 1850. But just up the road next to it is the graffiti house, which ended up being a field hospital.
Okay.
And some of the spirits from there traveled down to talk to us at Fleetwood. And apparently, according to them, there's a bunch of them buried between the two buildings.
So the Fleetwood Church was actually, like I see it's a Methodist church.
Yeah.
To get to where it can still be a church?
Once we get everything established, that's what the owner wants it to be, or at least bring it back. They have started bringing back a few services, but it's usually more like a tent meeting because they can only allow so many people inside.
So there's no pews or nothing in there yet, just...
No, just chairs at the moment.
Chairs, okay.
Well, it changed hands. It stayed in as a church until the 70s. Then after that, it changed hands a few times. It was an antique store, auto parts store, and then it just was left to rot. And Steve Paulette, the owner, bought the place, has been working on it ever since. He's made quite a bit of progress.
What's the owner's name again?
Steve Paulette.
You know, so I give him credit, man, taking over something that's falling apart. And I've seen some pictures of it, you know, before even what's done so far, you know, been work done on it. Right. And a lot more to go, but hopefully we can raise some money, you know, from this podcast and other things you got going on to, where I'll put links on this show to where people can donate.
Oh, please.
Whatever they can to help out, because, you know.
Please do. We're not proud.
No. You got to get money somewhere. I mean, and it costs money to, and I know that just owning this house, you know, the money I put in this house, you know, just to keep it nice, you know, same thing with the church, you know.
Yeah, we're definitely grateful for everybody that showed up for all the different events we've had there and other events by other groups that have been there. We're thankful for everybody that's shown up and everybody has been a part of them.
Well, now I'm going to be there, and I can't wait to see the church. And I like the pictures. I love the pictures that Denny sent me of the inside, a little bit of inside and outside the church. And I don't know too much about the church. I did some, try to Google it, you know, and that way to see, you know, some history, you know, history of the place.
We're still trying to figure it all out.
But you have a investigation going on, too, after the Paracron's over with?
Yeah, we're going to have an investigation from 9 to 1, I think. That'll give everybody time to clear out and refresh, regroup, and have at it. We're even thinking about being trigger objects. A couple times, except for last night when we did the investigation, didn't get much response, but I got a replica of a Civil War saber, and I carry up there, and I hook up, which was made by Builder Ben. Kudos to him. It's got two gator clips that hook up, and it acts like an EMF detector. So if anything gets near it, it lights up. But last night, battery went dead, and then I replaced it, and it got quiet, so... Last night wasn't a good one for that trigger object, but we've used it in several spots dating to the history of the Civil War. And yeah, and then you can actually get, I've heard we've gotten EVPs where it sounds like somebody's trying to draw the saber.
Have you tried anything outside the church?
Oh, it's haunted outside the church because there's still bodies that were left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Have you tried any like equipment to contact outside the church? You know, some people go inside and outside.
Oh yeah, we do both inside and outside. We know a few of them. It was quite active last night, too.
I figure it would be quite active with all the death around that area.
Oh, yeah.
And like you said, like a bloodiest, one of the bloodiest battles.
Well, I think the full moon had an effect on it last night, really.
You know, a lot of people don't believe that, you know, but the full moon is powerful.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to think about it. Full moon affects the oceans, and we're pretty much water-based individuals. So.
And you think talking about also, you know, about the energy, you know, because it's all energy.
Yeah.
What's going on, Denny?
I keep trying to find moments to like chime in, but I'm not going to step on anyone's toes.
I'm giving you a chance, brother. Go for it.
Right here.
Yeah, no. All in all, Fleetwood Church is, you know, I look at it like an onion, and we've been slowly peeling away the various layers of this place, trying to see, you know, who all's there, what really makes it tick, and in order to truly understand it and keep the spirits happy while we are working hard to, you know, support the historic preservation of this site. That's the best way I can put it.
Have you been involved in any of the investigations inside the church?
Me? Oh, yeah. Quite a few. I've been coming to Fleetwood Church since 2019 when I went to my first Paracon there and met, you know, Donnie and the Spirit Guides paranormal team. And, you know, my very first experience I ever had there, we were investigating inside the church while we had another group outside. And at one point I asked the team lead if I could turn on my spirit box. I'm just sitting in the back of the room minding my own business. And they're like, yeah, okay, why not? And I turned this PSB7 spirit box on. I got my little ball speaker hooked into it. I have no idea what to expect. And as soon as it comes on, it starts cycling through the radio stations. And then I hear my name come through, not once, not twice, but seven times. Crystal clear voices, each one of them different, both male and female voices, all calling out to me. And suddenly everybody in the room turns around and says, who the hell is this Denny guy? And I just kind of sheepishly raised my hand. I was like, yeah, that's me. And they're like, okay, well, talk to them. Find out who they are. What's going on? And the spirits there seem to know that I was destined to be involved with that place well before I even did, which I find to be really interesting.
So when I did an interview with you, a year or two ago, you're on my show. Mm-hmm. when I was editing back the episode, it kept saying, "Hi, Cooley." You know, that's me. You know, so I'm like, it was coming from your side. So, and I said, that's why I asked you if you felt your house was haunted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember you.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I said, okay. I mean, long it stays on your side over there, you know. Yeah, but it was interesting. You know, it's like that's the first time that's ever happened. All the guests I've on a show, a spirit from your house talking to me.
Yeah, sometimes. So I mean, in those days, you know, things were following me home, which I had to learn very quickly to, you know, ground myself and lay clear boundaries, I should say, to prevent that kind of thing from happening.
Have you had spirits follow you home before?
In the past, yes. Not anymore.
Okay.
They know better. I make it abundantly clear.
So when you were doing your paranormal investigations, do you prefer home investigations over corporate, or does it matter?
It matters. We started off with homes, and I try to keep it that way, but locations need us, so we step in.
Well, it's really cool talking to you guys today, and I can't wait to be there in October and actually see the church myself. You know, I've been to Williamsburg, I've been to Gettysburg, never been to Culpeper, so I got my hotel rooms already booked.
Are you coming in Friday
coming
night?
Coming in Friday night, right.
See if we can get you through the battlefield. The state took it over. We used to have investigations there when it was owned by the foundation, but now it's kind of blocked by the state. We'll have to figure something out with that.
Yeah, it looks like I was checking some of the area out, you know, around the church, and it's very interesting. You know, yeah. So I hope I have some interviews from some people up there, and I'll do like a month long podcast just on the Fleetwood Church and try to get some traffic your way.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Just like my book, you know, it's like I never had anything with spirits or ghosts. I mean, I was 12 years old. I mean, that was new to me. So in 1967, I mean, who do you go to?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no Google, there's no Facebook, you know, all these fantastic groups that's on there now. I mean, how many groups are out there for paranormal? So who do you go to? I mean, and my parents, I mean, Donnie was fortunate because his mother also, she could relate, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, his mother could relate to the ghost, you know, whereas my mother and dad, they didn't, because, you know, that was all hocus-pocus stuff to them, you know. I was crazy. I couldn't tell you how many times, like in my book, you know, I couldn't tell you how many times I was grounded for even bringing it. So I didn't bring it up. You know, every time I brought it up, I was crazy or talking nonsense or, I mean, and it wasn't until my sister who actually started experiencing what I was. And my friends started coming over. One of my friends never came back to the house again. Never. So it was never violent with us, with my sister and I. It was for my one uncle, very violent. So my question was Donnie, you know, in his house when you grew up, like, what did you say? He's 8 years old. What was it? Was a male kid, a woman? Who?
It was a male. We ended up calling Mr. Holmes.
Mr. Who?
Mr. Holmes. That's the person that lived there prior to us. It was an old farmhouse. We rented it. The entity woke me up one night. All right, picture an old farmhouse. You're on the edge of the building. If you went out my bedroom door, across the hall was the bathroom. Then down the long hall, and it turned because of the staircase. There's a bedroom over there. My parents' bedroom was in the middle. Well, this thing woke me up. It leaned into the doorway, looked at me, looked across the room to my little sister, and then turned and went. I thought it was dad. No, it went right past the parents' office and turned into the other room. And that was the room that was supposed to be my sister's room, but she wouldn't sleep in it. We had aunts, uncles, anybody that did sleep in it had strange experiences. I mean, the room would not get cold even on a 100-degree day. I mean, it wouldn't get warm. It stayed cool. They had pets. One pet got flung into the bed with them. One uncle woke up the next morning to thank his wife for scratching his back. She wasn't even up there and did not scratch his back. My brother came back from Vietnam to sleep in that room. We found him downstairs in the living room because that room's dead. We're not sleeping in there. And that's just let me know that what I was seeing something was there. I mean, 2 and 2 equals 4.
That's what you had anything after that, or was that just the beginning of it? Or
that was the beginning. I used to have what I thought were night terrors. Then we built a house and we lived there. And I was hearing spirits and stuff in the house, and the night terrors, I'd call them, started again. And I kept telling people, you know, we're not alone here now. And then my uncle passed away, my great uncle, I always called him uncle, but he passed away. And the stereo in the house came on by itself and rolled itself, you know, the old dial radios, rolled itself to a country music station, because he was all about country. We weren't home, because in the morning before we go to school, we'd turn on the radio and listen to music as we got ready, and then turn it off, go to school. Well, apparently it turned on and rolled the country music, which mom goes like, okay, Uncle Billy, it's enough. And then stop. Then another uncle died. Another great uncle, his brother passed away. And now I'm living in my own place, and he had given me a set of canisters to store food in. And we were having dinner guests that night. Guy goes, Donnie, what time is this? Man, there's many clocks around this house. Pick one. They're all set the same. He goes, no, they're not. And as soon as he said that, every canister popped off. The lids popped right off of them. And he looked at me and goes, dinner's done. Thank you. And him and his girlfriend left. I didn't realize all the time it had changed on all the clocks. They were all, the battery lined up, stuck on the wall. Even the electric one on the stove was different. Nothing was set to the same time. Everything was an hour off. So it's been going on for a while. Anymore, I kind of shrug it off. At least in my house, we did an investigation. It was kind of crazy.
You have activity in the house you're in now?
Oh, yeah. They pass through here. I won't say they follow me. They pass through here. I mean, even my dog sees them now and again.
I know in this house we just bought, you know, 2017. I call her Greta. Her name was Greta. She was a heavy smoker. And my wife and I, we don't smoke, but we can smell, you know, when it's not just smelling cigarette smoke. Because, you know, when you blow smoke in somebody's face, I mean, there's a difference with smelling smoke and then somebody blows it in your face. And
yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I smell it. I said, okay, Greta, you can go outside and smoke or whatever. And it'll stop, you know. My wife says, maybe you're doing too many paranormal shows, you know. Or so the other day she smelled the smoke. So now people say, you know, you can smell a certain perfume that your grandmother wore or your mom or a cigar.
Indeed. Indeed. It happens.
And then you were talking about before I started recording about experience. You were playing back, was a voice recorder.
Yeah. So last night during our full moon investigation at Fleetwood Church, I had a female spirit come through, and she told me, she first started off by saying that I needed to repent. And, I'm thinking to myself, okay, why do I need to repent? But maybe I've done something I haven't thought about. I mean, we all make mistakes. Then that was followed with, you're the key. And so I just started asking questions. Okay, who's the key? I'm the key? Why am I the key? What does that mean? You know, why are we being cryptic? You know, but then again, this is the spirit world. Not everything's spelled out black and white for us, you know, to understand. But here I am asking questions, not really getting anything directly back, but I go back into the audio today and I start listening. And, you know, one of the other investigators, Joe, he starts joking around like, well, maybe I'm the key. And then right at the end, I hear this woman's voice say, Denny, he's wise. And I kind of step back and I scratch my head and I'm like, okay, this is like quite the puzzle I'm putting together here. So I need to repent because I'm the key and I'm wise. I can only think it's some sort of reference to my gifts as a medium, because, you know, spirits tell me, not only, you know, at Fleetwood Church, but
other locations that I go to, they tell me that I'm important and that I don't need to be messing with the paranormal equipment, that I just need to focus on my gifts and transcribing their messages to others that are in the room. And I guess at the end of the night, as a medium, I am the walking spirit box, if you will. But I don't know.
You know, I've talked to other mediums. I'm going to ask you the same question. You know, do you feel like you being a medium is a curse or a blessing, or both?
I think it can be a little bit of both, but it all depends on how you use the gifts that you've been afforded.
Because I think you were saying, you know, because you're contacted, they started coming at you like one after another. So sometimes you're like bombarded with, okay, you know, enough, you know, just give me one or two, you know. But then you get like, and there's some people who have, like I've always said, you know, spirit will pick and choose who they want to connect with.
I mean, it's literally about the energy.
You seem like sounds like you're the popular one they want to go to, because I think as when you went to the Paracon at Fleetwood, that's how Donnie met you. Wasn't it that your name kept popping up, Denny, back then?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, very first experience there, they were reaching out and trying to connect with me. And it's been that way pretty much every single time I go.
So sometimes a lot of mediums, they don't even use equipment because they can't connect with just their male telepathy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like
sometimes a spirit box or an EVP can get in the way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, oftentimes what I'm finding on investigations is that, you know, we'll have one thing going on and then, you know, I'll get a download, you know, from my spirit guides or, you know, even a spirit passing a message to me that's there in the moment. And I'll be like, hey, ask about XYZ. And then somebody will ask about it. And then we get that confirmation through whatever device or experiment that we're running at that point, and it makes me go, okay, I mean, this is happening.
Have you had like multiple, either one of you have like multiple connections with, say, a certain spirit, like the same spirit?
Like at Fleetwood Church or
just? Right, yeah. Like Fleetwood Church. Like in the Fleetwood Church, is there any certain spirit that keeps coming back, or is it just multiple spirits?
Donnie, I'll let you go first.
Well, okay. Let's go this way. Fleetwood Church is right next to the railroad tracks. We get spirits floating through that place. I need to start keeping a log, because we've had from the Civil War. Last night was full of the original people that owned it, the property, and I owned the property that were in that house. We get different people. Some of them were coming from Graffiti House. Some of them were at the Battle of Brandy Station. Some of them were parishioners there at the church. We never know what we're going to get. It's like a floodgate some days, especially around a solstice. We really got bombarded at one time. That's why I was doing, want to get the group to start trying to do full moon ones, because we noticed a spike in activity last night because it started off low, and then all of a sudden it went off the hook.
So you had like a full moon last night.
Well, part of a full moon. The fullest moon is tomorrow night. It's blue moon, I believe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's full of energy. So that's one investigation I did long ago. The place is no longer there. It was Westview Manor, which was an antique store. And the lovely lady had us there several times. And the one night we went, it was awesome. It was a full moon. And one hell of a thunderstorm came through that area. And it lasted that night with the lightning and everything else, winds. And the activity in that place was more than we've ever seen. We've been there several times. So I'm thinking, okay, was it the full moon? It was the electrical storm. But then we went to Fleetwood one time to test out some new gear, and it was a solstice, and it got really crazy. So I'm thinking seasonal and lunar has an effect. I mean, I'm seeing different changes, but
it's energy. So you know, they run off of energy. So
oh yeah.
So it's got to be a good effect. I mean, for maybe not just a Fleetwood Chuck, but a church, but like any, I don't want to say demonic, maybe like malevolent spirits that cause a little ruckus. Do you ever come across that?
We call them nasties.
Nasties?
We don't even give them the power of being a demon. You say that gives them power to most people. We just, you're nasty. And we work with them over there. We don't give them any extra strength.
Uh-huh. Have you ever been pushed or like that, you know, or hurt during an investigation?
Well, okay. Now, have you ever ridden horseback?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, the old adage, if you haven't been thrown, stepped on, bitten, you haven't been doing it long enough. Well, I have been bitten. I've been scratched. I've been shoved off a staircase. I've been touched. Oh, yeah. It comes with the territory. I mean, it's not for the weak at heart or lighthearted. I mean, there are dangers out there. It isn't just, it's funny because you see one thing on TV, but you see all of us sitting in a dark room, quiet, asking questions, waiting for something to happen. And when it does, and we can connect it to history, that's when you're hooked. But sometimes it goes awry.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's, but yeah, I have been many times. The worst one I ever had, I'll show you, you're going to be at the Paracons, so I'll show you the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I got sucker punched in my own house. I was alone. No animal in the house. I'm shutting down for the night. I got sucker punched. I woke up staring at the ceiling. I don't know where it came from. We got an idea now, but then I didn't know where it came from. And I had bruises the next morning, a black eye. Luckily, the beard covered this whole side of my face was a bruise.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a, like, somebody hit me with a rope right around the neck. On just this side, it whelped up. It freaked people out. Somebody thought I was in a fight with the ex. I'm like, no, she's gone. She wasn't in the house. But I woke up in the middle of the floor going, what in the world just happened?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've had it all. Denny probably has too. Denny, on to you.
So I'll circle back around to what we were originally talking about and then tie it in to what we were just touching on. So at Fleetwood Church, we do have regular, I guess I'll call them frequent flyers that come through in terms of spirits. So there's a little boy that calls himself Buford. He's 7 years old. He claims that his mother is actually a couple of houses down from the church, but she seems to pop in every once in a while. Sometimes it's with him, sometimes it's without him. Last night, he made reference to me being his father, which I got a good laugh out of. But that's a different story because, yeah, I'm not wrapping my mind around that one. But
I'm sorry, I did it to you last night. That was crazy.
There's also the spirit of Melinda Wine, who was married to Daniel Wine, and he's the one that donated the land for Fleetwood Church to be built upon. That was actually part of the family farm, which was called Fleetwood Farm, by the way. 1,400 acres. It's impressive to even think about. But Melinda, she pops in every once in a while. I've had a couple of very vivid dreams about her, which I don't know if it's her coming to visit me in the dreams or I'm just, you know, actively thinking about Fleetwood subconsciously. But there's also a few different reverends from over the course of the church's history that seem to be lingering around in spirit. Reverend John W. Carroll's there. There's a Reverend Stephen. Donnie, I'm unsure on his last name. If you know it, feel free to chime in.
Right off hand, I do not remember. There's a mess of them there, and Eugene wasn't one of them, was he?
I don't remember. I'd have to go back and check.
The one that came by, who came to us last night.
Oh, Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, yeah.
Yeah. Which I did go through and look at the records for that. There was one reverend. It was like E.W. Morgan. I don't know if that was maybe him. We'd have to do some digging. But in some of these guys, they can be a little more hands-on than others. The spirit of Buford, he seems to be very affectionate as a little boy, likes to try and hug people and like tug at their clothes and things like that. I had a very specific experience at Fleetwood a couple of years ago during an event where I was standing outside under a tent and I was talking to one of the guests that was there. And all of a sudden, I felt somebody walk up behind me and I went to turn, and then they gave me this Vulcan death grip, you know, pinching my left shoulder. And I screamed out loud and I like spun around and there was nobody behind me. And the person I was talking to said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Did you see somebody come up behind me?" And they said, "No." And I said, "Somebody just pinched the crap out of my shoulder." I mean, like, it felt like somebody had reached into my shoulder and pulled the nerve like right out of the muscle almost. It was hurting that bad. And I thought to myself, okay, that was interesting. Later on that night, after I got home, I had this really off-the-wall dream that I'm 100% sure was connected to it, where I was driving through a neighborhood and I saw a stray cat, which me being me, I always pull over and, you know, try to help poor animals like that. And I got out and I was petting this cat, and all of a sudden this entity reached out of the sky down into my dream, picked me up by the throat and lured me back up into the air. And all I can remember is traveling through the different layers of Earth's atmosphere. And then all of a sudden I woke up in the dream and said, "Oh my gosh, this is real." And I started struggling and I couldn't breathe. And I was actually trying to actively wake up in bed next to my girlfriend, who figured something was wrong. She grabbed me, started trying to shake me awake, and I couldn't wake up. And I kept going, you know, going, and then finally, I guess I fought it off and I snapped out of it. But that particular instance to this day still has me kind of on edge, but I've definitely upped my, I guess you could say, spiritual warfare since then. So spirits nowadays, if they get near me, I make it very clear. No touching. You're welcome to hang out, but only positive energy.
Next, come a long way, brother.
Yeah.
And when that church was a church, did they bury in like any of the congregation on the ground?
Yes.
Like, you know, some churches.
Yes, actually, the belief is it was the Lion Cemetery. It's also been called Brandy Station Cemetery. There is no log of this. But since it was the Wyand family property, there probably is. But there are bodies still there that the congregation did not remove or relocate when they left. The stones that were remaining were bulldozed and the bodies were left behind. A woman named Laura Payne, I think that's her name, came through with the Dowsing Rise. In fact, Denny showed how we could do it last night. Dows for the graves, and we were standing around one last night that wasn't marked, but she found all of them, and we marked as, or Steve did mark as many as he knows possible. Some of them are underneath the shed that's in back next to the railroad tracks, and they extend to the edge of the property. They actually run one way. There's one gravestone left. How it's left, I don't know, because it was moved. Sit in a spot next to the railroad tracks, next to a tree, but it belongs to where another tree is already located. So the graves kind of wrapped around one side of the church, but there's a path to the railroad tracks, and there's graves on the other side of the church. But yeah, they wrap off. If you face in the church, it wraps off to the left-hand side. But all those gravestones, some of the bodies have been removed. Apparently, Gertrude's still there. From when we gathered, but she's buried near a tree. We're trying to find a way to relocate that headstone without damaging it at all. and try to get it back where it was. We wanted to find the actual location. We'll find it in time. But yeah, there's bodies still buried there.
Yeah, because there's sometimes, like, I go to these old churches, you know, and a lot of the activity that's in the church is from the people that's buried on that ground. You know, because sometimes, you know, I even seen where you're a prominent member of that church and you're given all this money and they give you, I want buried underneath that willow tree over there. Well, so-and-so's buried there. You know, well, you've got to move them or you're buried on top of them, you know. So, but, you know, and I had Bishop Long on my show not long ago. He was a Catholic priest who does many, many exorcisms. Because I was saying about the Catholic Church, you know, Catholic religion, you know, they don't, what's their view on cremation, you know? And he said, you know, his thing was, you know, as long as the cremation was the whole body, you know, sometimes you get only parts of that body, you know, and you don't get the whole body, you know, and then that's when he thinks there's problems, you know. I don't know, you know, but I do know that when I was at the cemetery in Erie, PA, that, I found it interesting. If the cemetery is built, founded like in 1850, okay, but you have stones there that say 1825. So if they died in 1825, how did they get there in 1850? And then the groundskeeper is telling me, well, because the family all wanted the whole family together, they would move these bodies to the cemetery from another cemetery. And if they didn't get the whole body, that's where they get the kind of tied in with what Bishop Long was saying. It kind of ties in with, you don't have the whole body there. I thought that interesting that the spots that were active was the spots that they didn't have the whole body.
It kind of makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. You left part of me behind.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're 1825, but the cemetery wasn't put there until 1850. So they had to move the body there. From someplace else.
But then again, we start to ask the question about the energy. I mean, we're energy beings. So
energy, back to the energy.
If you're digging up a cemetery and you're going to relocate the body and leave the lower half or a leg or a foot, is some of that person's energy still connected or did it go? Or is there any energy left behind? I mean, I've been to cemeteries and investigated and not gotten anything. One of my weirdest things ever happened to me, I took a trip with some friends of mine years ago. We went up to Salem, and we went to the witch's little memorial there in the graveyard. And I was there, and I knelt down. I was taking a picture of an old headstone. It was kids. And I snapped a picture. And as I snapped in the picture, old school, there was a shadow being cast from behind me over me. And I snapped a couple pictures, turn around. There's nobody there. The friends that were there with me weren't even with me anymore. They went to sit down. They weren't even in the cemetery. There was nobody in the cemetery with me. But yet there was a shadow being cast from behind me. Who was it?
Yeah, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. We talk about energy again, you know, so.
Yeah, but there's energy too. I mean, if you can actually block out some sunlight, you got some pretty good energy.
Great. What's your before you get off? I think I got a few minutes left on the Ouija board.
It got popular because of the spiritualism, and it was actually later put out as a game. Yes, I have delved in such, and I've also cleaned up some messes of such. There's ways to use it depending on how you're planning on using it. And my glasses aren't fuzzing up, but this screen is. It's like everything else we do. There's with a Ouija board, you got to learn how to open and close because you don't know. Denny just picked one up and brought it, and yes, it's packed with energy. He brought one the other night, or last night. You can do some good, you can do some bad, but a lot of times people don't know how to close them, and they don't know what in the world they let in when they do so.
Really, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, the Ouija board was never really considered an evil, even a game, until The Exorcist came out.
It was put out as a game back in the...
Yeah, it was a game, but I mean, it wasn't really thought as being evil. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. It started being controlled by the church.
Right. Right. And you're talking about spirituality. I mean, the Indians worked off of spirituality for years. I mean,
I was actually, I was raised Southern Baptist, baptized Pentecostal, and I traveled the Red Road. I kind of cover everything. Religion is one thing. It is man-made. Spirituality is a whole different thing. And that's what religion was supposed to teach. And we lost our way somewhere along the line. So it's twist things around, start seeing everything the way it's supposed to be. Actually, I had a gift I couldn't understand, and I did a reading with Stephanie Burke. She's now working with, she was with Annie Bruin and Adam for a while, and now she's worked with Porter. They're doing a show. But she did a reading, and she goes, do your hands get hot? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, you've got a gift. I'm like, yeah, I sort of know that because I can go, I can have people in my house and anybody's hurting, I can walk by and my hands will fire up. And then I started just from a distance, just doing like the Iron Man. And I could feel the energy coming from the palm of my hand to people and they'd feel better. I felt drained. She goes, you've got the gift. You just got to learn to hone it in. So I took all of her classes and became a master. But yeah, energy can move amongst us.
Well, I can't wait to talk to you and Denny both at this Paracon coming up, and going to put the links in the bottom of the episode. I want to thank you guys for coming on, and I'll talk to you at that Paracon in October 26th, Brandy Station, Virginia.
Hey, we could have some in-depth conversations, I know.
Oh, most definitely, yeah. All right, man.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Donnie and Denny from the Spirit Guides Paranormal Team, and I will see you on October 26th at the Fleetwood Church Resurrection Paracon. It's going to be a blast, man. Make sure you get your tickets on eventbrite.com. I will put the links at the bottom of this episode, also links to where you can donate if you want to help save this church, you know, help renovate this church, save history. It's a really sacred and beautiful place, and any donations are welcome. I'm your host, Al Cooley, and I will see you in 2 weeks with another great episode on Ghost in the Valley podcast.